RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night, Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early. Shout out to all my people that's in the bed just listening right now, I appreciate you. And all my people that's already at work on the way to work, salute to you as well. I know the vibes. But the Braves, how about them? Making some moves. Starting to get a little traction now here before the August 1st trade deadline. And they made a couple of moves yesterday. Couple of trades for the Atlanta Braves. So, first, they announced that they acquired Pierce Johnson from the Colorado Rockies in exchange for minor league pitchers, right-handed pitcher Tanner Gordon and right-handed pitcher Victor Vodnik. And to make room on the 40-man roster, Atlanta designated left-handed pitcher Lucas Lutke for assignment. And again, I was never the biggest fan of Lucas Lutke, so sorry, Lucas. But anywho, the Braves also announced yesterday that they acquired Taylor Hearn from the Texas Rangers in exchange for cash considerations. And to make room on the 40-man roster, Atlanta designated right-handed pitcher Derek Rodriguez for assignment. So they give up Vodnik and Tanner Gordon. Victor Vodnik is the Braves' number 10 overall prospect. Tanner Gordon, the Braves' number 26 overall prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. The Braves give those two prospects up to get Pierce Johnson, who, if you don't know a lot about Pierce Johnson, he's 32, has appeared in 43 games for the Rockies this season, compiling a 1-5 record, has a 6 ERA, 26 earned runs, and 39 innings pitched, 58 strikeouts. And among pitchers with at least 40 appearances this season, his 13.38 strikeouts per nine innings are sixth most in baseball. So this is a guy who was, at the beginning of the season, the Colorado Rockies closer, as a matter of fact. He started struggling, obviously. I just read you the numbers. Not great numbers. But apparently this is a guy that the Braves and Alex Anthopoulos think can get back to the numbers and looking like the guy that he was maybe towards the beginning of the season, and they feel like he can help out right away in this Braves bullpen. As far as Taylor Hearn goes, Hearn, 28 right now, has played his entire five major league career years with the Rangers, has a 12-15 record, 5.11 ERA, 5.11 ERA, given up 130 earned runs over 229 innings pitched over 92 career games, including 25 starts. He's appeared four times with the Rangers this season. All have been in relief. And numbers, again, not great. 10.29 ERA, 8 earned runs and 7 innings pitched, struck out 7. This is a guy who's going to be a little bit more of a wild card. When I was searching through Braves Twitter, kind of getting a pulse of everything, this is a guy who is probably going to end up staying in AAA Gwinnett unless a guy like Dylan Lee doesn't have his best stuff when he's ready to come back, which hopefully is sooner rather than later. So this is a guy who you're more so taking a flyer on when we talk about Taylor Hearn. But Alex Anthopoulos did have this to say about him yesterday when he was talking to reporters. He was on a conference call with reporters. Anthopoulos was. He said he's got a great arm, a power arm. We'll see him get in the strike zone. We'll see him get in the strike zone a little bit more. But the fact is he's got big stuff. He has experience starting. He's a nice piece for us to take a shot at. So, again, they're taking a shot at him, taking a flyer on him. But, again, once you get that bullpen healthy, I would not expect to see too much of Taylor Hearn unless he just is absolutely lights out in AAA Gwinnett, or if he gets an opportunity up here before guys get back and he's lights out, then that's a different story. But as of right now, I think you should expect to see definitely a lot more of Pierce Johnson than you would Taylor Hearn. Again, kind of just taking a flyer on Taylor Hearn. And look, I think this is only the beginning. I don't think the Braves are done, not one bit. There are rumors starting to float out there that they're even interested in bringing Adam Duvall back. And, hey, I'll be all for it. Adam Duvall helped us win a World Series. So I am definitely all for bringing Adam Duvall back. But as far as bringing in bullpen help goes, I do not think the Braves are done whatsoever. I think this was only the beginning. This was just the start. And hopefully they can bring in some more guys who can help the Braves wide away. But I think Pierce Johnson will be a guy who you will see pretty soon. And when he was talking about Alex Anthopoulos, this is, yesterday during his conference call with reporters, he was talking about how, you know, the trades add some swing and miss stuff from the right side with Pierce Johnson and, again, some roster flexibility with left-handed pitcher Taylor Hearn, who could be a multi-inning option. So this could be a guy who comes in for long relief if you need it. And specifically when he was talking about Pierce Johnson, Anthopoulos said, I know the numbers on the surface aren't great, but he's still getting lots of swings and misses, Anthopoulos said, again, on that conference call with reporters yesterday. He also said, quote, we think there's upside there and room to improve, end quote. So, look, again, you're pitching in a place like Coors Field, your numbers are always going to be inflated, right? And I did get the numbers from Grant McCauley, our very own Grant McCauley. Shout out to Grant. Pierce Johnson's home and road splits are, again, as you would expect it, because, again, we know how friendly a hitter's ballpark Coors Field is. No lead is safe in Coors Park for a reason. But here's Pierce Johnson's home and road splits, and he's a lot better when he is not in Coors Field compared to when he is in Coors Field. His ERA when he's away from Coors Field, 4.11 ERA, which, again, is still not amazing, but it's a lot better than the 7.23 ERA he has when he's in Colorado and pitching in Coors Field. So I definitely think there is something there with Pierce Johnson. I do think he can help this team right away. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm poo-pooing on the fact that Taylor Hearn can't help right away. I just think he's not a guy you should have quite the expectations for. When we talk about, oh, when are we going to see him pitch? You know, is this going to be a guy that's contributing right away? I'm not quite sure. I think that is more dependent on how guys get back, when guys like Dylan Lee come back, when guys like Nick Anderson are able to come back, and how they look when they come back as well. If they're struggling out of the gate and if they're trying to knock some rust off, then you see a guy like Taylor Hearn. However, like I said, I do think Pierce Johnson is going to come in and he's going to be a factor right away. I think we can see him in possibly the seventh inning. Not sure if we'll see him in eighth innings, but there is a possibility, especially, you know, if AJ isn't back as soon as we expect, but we do expect AJ to come back sooner rather than later. AJ Minter, by the way, is going to pitch an inning in Gwinnett today. And I believe Max Fried makes his, hopefully, what's his last rehab start on Wednesday or Thursday. Can't remember exactly. Either tomorrow or Thursday. But Max should be back soon. AJ Minter should be back soon, hopefully. But I still think we see Pierce Johnson in some crucial moments for the Braves when it's all said and done. So Braves making some moves. But again, I do not think they are done. By the way, Taylor Hearn, that is. I got this from Braves beat writer for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. Hearn has pitched just 7 innings in the majors this year. Again, had a 3.66 ERA over 39 in one-thirds innings pitch for AAA Round Rock. So, again, Hearn is a guy who probably is going to spend more time in Gwinnett than he is with the big league club. But, again, Pierce Johnson, the guy the Braves have acquired from the Rockies, he's going to come in. He's going to hopefully make some noise and bolster this bullpen right away. So, think this is, again, only the beginning for Alex Anthopoulos. I think some bigger deals probably could be on the horizon. I don't know if that means a Josh Hader or anybody like that, but I do think we're going to start to see some more moves trickle down the line here as we get closer and closer to August 1st, because we're only, a couple of days away? Today's the 25th, so that deadline is a week from today. So a week from today, I think we'll be talking about a lot more moves when we talk about what the Braves were able to get done before the trade deadline. And look, you do have to think of it this way too a little bit. We are going to get a lot of guys back here, hopefully sooner rather than later too. I'm not quite sure about Jesse Chavez. They did just place him on the 60-day IL. So I'm not sure exactly when you're planning on getting him back, but I know you're getting AJ back very soon, hopefully. Hopefully you see Nick Anderson soon-ish. He's another guy that's been on the 60-day IL. So you're going to get guys back too, but you do need guys who are ready now to help this team win and to help bolster this bullpen. So again, that's why I say I think there are going to be more moves. I do not think this is going to be it for Alex Anthopoulos, not one bit. But you can always let me know your thoughts. Tweet at me at underscore Dylan Matthews as well. I do want to let you know as well, want to give a quick shout out to Mr. Austin Riley. It was no surprise at all that he was named the NL Player of the Week for this past week that he put up July 17th through the 23rd. He racked up 10 hits, 6 home runs, 16 RBIs, scored 9 runs over the week, including hitting a home run in 5 consecutive games, which, by the way, if you did not know, that tied a Braves franchise record. So, Austin Riley, NL Player of the Week, and rightfully so. I mean, if that would have been just straight up criminal if Austin Riley didn't get Player of the Week with the week that he had, because when I tell you he was raking. But Braves making some moves. Again, to quickly recap, they announced yesterday, they made it official, they acquired Pierce Johnson from the Colorado Rockies in exchange for minor league pitchers, right-handed pitcher Tanner Gordon and right-handed pitcher Victor Vodnik. Vodnik was the Braves' 10th overall prospect in their minor league system. Tanner Gordon, their 26th overall prospect in their minor league system. That's according to MLB Pipeline. They designated Lucas Lutke for assignment to make room on the 40-man roster. And they also announced yesterday that they acquired Taylor Hearn from the Texas Rangers in exchange for cash considerations. And they designated Derek Rodriguez for assignment to make room on the roster. So, the Braves, we'll see what other moves they make, but they're starting. We got a week before the deadline. Here we go. I only expect more. And we'll see what else they are able to pull off. But I know one thing. I trust in Alex Anthopoulos. All right, when we come back, you know what we got to do. We got to go around the A, give you some local sports news, including Atlanta United. They're taking on that guy tonight. First League's Cup match, group play, and did they pull a juggernaut? At least one player. We'll talk about it next, right here on the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Find The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Hope your mornings are going well. Appreciate you starting your day off with your boy. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, late morning, early morning, I should say, or late night, Uber or Lyft drivers, early gym goers, all that. Y'all know the vibes. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I'm ready to see the women get back on the field. Talking about the Women's World Cup, they have their next match tomorrow, taking on the Netherlands as they continue group play, and they're in search of a third straight World Cup championship. So I'm really excited to watch them on Wednesday. I didn't get a chance to catch the match on Friday, their first match on Friday. So on hanging out Wednesday, I'll have to stay up a little bit later and see what they're able to do on Wednesday.
Before you get into the A, let me ask you this, because yes. If I saw correctly on your story, you saw Barbie Oppenheimer.
Yes, I did. I did Barbenheimer.
Is it? Yeah, that's how it is. Is Oppenheimer the hype? Is it worth the hype?
It was good. It was good. I will say this. Like, So we saw Barbie at 6:55. Barbie was 2 hours. And then we saw Oppenheimer at 9:10. I was a little bit tired, dog. Like, it was a Saturday, so, you know, even though I got to sleep in that day, like, that morning, like, I was starting to fade a little bit. Like, 45 minutes into Oppenheimer, I was locked in, Max. I was locked in. But then, like, after that, there would be, you know, a minute or two where I may or may not have fallen asleep.
Oh, man.
And then I was kind of maybe in and out a little bit the rest of the movie. But I will say this, like, it was really interesting, really intriguing, especially like if you're a history buff, like this is definitely your movie. And it was just really interesting to know, like, it takes you through, like, kind of puts you in different spots in time. It'll show Oppenheimer, like, how he got to be, like, you know, a genius, and how he got interested in, atomic weaponry, I guess. And then it takes you to, like, the trial afterwards where they're, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but, like, you're finding out what happens to Oppenheimer afterwards. So it was really interesting. Like, I definitely will go back and watch it just because I was, you know, not enough in that parts. But, I mean, I saw enough. I was asleep, like, the whole second half of the movie. I saw enough of it to honestly to know what happened and what was going on through the movie. So it was good. It wasn't like there were parts where it was dope because there's no real like action. There's like maybe two spots in the movie where there's kind of like action, but it's never really any like action in the movie. So it's a lot of dialogue. So if you're a person who's looking for it to be like action filled, it's not. It's very much dialogue. There is suspenseful times, but there's no real like action in the movie. So I will say that. So there are a few lulls and dulls throughout the movie, but other than that, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, and not to go too off path. I know we got to get around the A, but yeah, I know it was a long movie.
It was three hours.
So I don't blame you for that. But you're also, hey, we're getting up there now, man. We're getting up there.
Yeah,
so,
man. You know,
back to backs are a tough thing to do.
They're tough. These back to back movies are hard, man. And I will say this. I talked about this yesterday too. But Barbie was actually really, really good. Like, I'm not even gonna cap here on this radio station. Barbie was good. Like, the message behind it and the way they did it, it was all good. It was very well put together. Very good movie. Ryan Gosling, his performance as Ken was really good. Margot Robbie obviously was good as Barbie, and just the way they did it was very good. Very inclusive as well. So I thoroughly enjoyed Barbie. I didn't know what to expect.
I'm sold.
Yeah. So I don't know. Have you not seen either one yet?
No. I usually go on Tuesdays because that's when you discount Tuesday.
So you going today?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go see Oppenheimer tonight.
Okay. Now, are you going to go see Barbie too? You can give it a chance?
Yeah, I'll give it a chance. Right. That'll be next Tuesday probably.
Okay. I feel you. Yeah.
I'm sold now.
There you go. Shout out to my guy, Max Van Auken, behind the glass. He actually has a Hawks question for me, but we'll get into that next segment just to give you a little look behind the curtain. But before we get to any of that, we got to take a trip around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
The Atlanta Braves, I told you about the trades they made yesterday. Well, they are back in action tonight as they are taking on the Boston Red Sox. The only thing we don't know about tonight's Braves and Red Sox game is who the heck is pitching for the Red Sox. They have still not decided who they're going to put out there on the mound. Still a big fat TBA when you go to ESPN or any other page and look to see who's going to start for the Red Sox. So we will see. I'm sure they'll announce. Well, they have to announce it in a few hours, I guess. The game's at 7:10, so they don't technically have to announce until like later this afternoon. But I would expect something to come out late morning, early afternoon about who's going to start for the Red Sox tonight. I'll try to put my eyes to the Twitter streets and my ears to the actual streets and maybe find out a little earlier for you. But Charlie Morton is going to take the mound for the Atlanta Braves. We do know that. First pitch again at 7:10, and hopefully the Braves can just keep on chugging along. Look, the Red Sox, solid team, but these are two winnable games. I mean, when you are the best team in baseball, like the Atlanta Braves are, you should win just about every series. Again, you're going to have ups and downs. We just saw it. We just saw them go through a little rut, but there's no reason you shouldn't be in position or have yourself in at least a position to win every single ball game. Now, you're not going to win every single one, but I think you should at least be in position to win every single one. So, Braves taking on the Red Sox. Red Sox, just to give you a little background on them, they currently sit 8.5 games behind the first place Baltimore Orioles, who are leading the AL East right now. And they are 2 games behind another division rival in the wild card, the Toronto Blue Jays. They're 2 games behind them, the Red Sox are, for that final wild card spot. And at 53-47, the Yankees and the Red Sox are tied for last place in the AL East. Man, that's tough. Being 53-47 and tied for last in your division, that just goes to show how good the AL East is this year. It is a very good division. I mean, we should know the Blue Jays are the only team that swept us this year. So we'll see what the Red Sox are all about tonight. Again, two-game set with them out in Boston. And Red Sox, if you want to know, they've won 2 out of their last 5. But those they've won their last 2 games. So they're on a little mini 2-game winning streak. Braves won 3 out of their last 5. So we'll see how the Red Sox and the Braves shake out tonight. And we'll see what happens. But hopefully the Braves can get a streak started, get another winning streak going, and get back into the rhythm. I was talking about this yesterday. It seems like they've shaken the rust off of the All-Star break. Seems like they're getting back into a rhythm. They're getting back into the swing of things, no pun intended. But hopefully they can just go on another streak and get back to where they're winning 7 games in a row, 8 games in a row, 10 games in a row maybe, then, you know, maybe dropping a game, then going on another 5, 6, 7 game win streak and just going on extended winning streaks. And then, like I said, maybe dropping a game here or there if they must. But hopefully they can get back to that kind of like they were in the month of June, where they were just absolutely red hot and seems like they couldn't lose. All right, we teased this. Going to break. Atlanta United, they start League's Cup tonight, and they have their first group play match against who else but Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. So Messi taking on the 5 Stripes tonight. This game is going to be in Fort Lauderdale, in Miami. Well, Fort Lauderdale, not Miami technically, but it's going to be very interesting to watch. You can watch it on Apple TV Plus if you're a streamer. And it's just gonna be very interesting to see how Atlanta United defends Messi, how they fare against Messi. They can't get caught up in the hype of Messi. They can't get caught up in the oohs and ahs of all of it. He's a really good soccer player. That's just how you have to think about it. Don't look at him as this otherworldly being, or don't look at him as the Michael Jordan of soccer or anything like that. He's just a really good soccer player who you're trying to stop, and you're trying to go out there and get a win in Leagues Cup. So the MLS right now, the MLS season is on pause, by the way, for Leagues Cup, if you are wondering. But I'll definitely have my eyes on it. I would definitely be interested to see what Messi does. Hopefully he doesn't have a hat trick on us or anything like that. This is the one match, or really the one of the two matches, because this is the second or the first of hopefully two times we'll see Messi. But if you haven't heard, you know, when Messi comes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, he might not be playing because, as you know, Messi only likes to play on natural grass fields. He don't like to play on turf, and Atlanta United has turf. And now reports are coming out that if, you know, you got turf, Messi probably ain't going to play when it's time to play that team. So there is a probability that Messi will not be in action when he comes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to take on Atlanta United in their MLS meeting. So we'll come to find out there. And I don't blame Atlanta United, though. I ain't digging up and taking out the turf and putting in a natural grass just to see Messi. No. Ain't no one person that special where I'm digging up the turf, messing up the turf, and putting in natural grass, growing natural grass just for one dude for one night. Heck no. So I understand how much money they can make off tickets wise. I get all that. I get the point of it. Like, I get how lucrative having Messi in the building can be. I understand all that. All I'm saying is that that's a lot to do for one player for one night. Okay? So I'm not mad at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Arthur Blank, and all the people who are in charge of making those decisions for not wanting to switch out a turf field to take the time out to grow natural grass just so Messi himself can play. Like, I wouldn't want to do that either. But Messi will take on the Five Stripes tonight in their opening Leagues Cup match. By the way, Atlanta ranks fifth in the MLS in big chance conversions, and they're tied for third in goals scored coming into Leagues Cup tonight. Thiago Almada, the magician, he leads the MLS, of course, with 3 direct free kick goals, and Atlanta has scored a league-high 14 goals off set pieces, while Miami, now this is going to be a key to the game now I'm giving to you, so listen up. Miami has conceded a league-worst 15 goals off of set pieces. So, what does that mean? Atlanta is the best at scoring goals off of set pieces. Miami is the worst when it comes to giving up set-piece goals. Hopefully, Atlanta can get some good set pieces. They can get Thiago Almada in positions to work his magic. Maybe score a 4th or 5th direct free kick goal. And Atlanta can get a win tonight. Because, look, I know that Miami is on the upswing. They're on the uptick because they just got Messi and everybody feels good about what Inter Miami is going to be and can do. But, look, let's not ignore the fact that Inter Miami, before all this Messi hype, they were and still are technically the worst team in MLS. Like, let's not forget that. They're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference table. So this team, besides Messi, is not particularly good. So this is a match you should win. Again, as long as you just don't come in there and just stare at Messi whenever he has the ball at his feet, should be a match that Atlanta United should be honestly favored in and should be able to get a win. Now, again, Messi does make any team better. I'm not going to sit here and act like he doesn't. But one player can only do so much, especially in the game of soccer where it's such a team-oriented game. Soccer is not like basketball where one guy could just take over and change a whole game. It's a lot tougher to do that in games like soccer and football than it is a game like basketball. So While Messi is obviously going to make a difference, we saw it in his debut hitting the game winner, it's going to be tough for Inter Miami still the rest of the way. And I think Atlanta United, again, there's avenues there that they can take advantage of. And again, they're the best team when it comes to scoring off set pieces, and Inter Miami has given up the most goals when it comes to, you know, set pieces. So that's something that hopefully can take advantage of. All right, I told you about the U.S. Women's National Team. They defeated Vietnam 3-0 on Friday in their opening World Cup match. They're taking on the Netherlands at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday in their second match of the 2023 Women's World Cup. So good luck to Team USA, and again, hopefully they can get their third straight World Cup title. All right, when we get back, Mr. Max Van Auken has an Atlanta Hawks question for me, and I am very, very intrigued as to what he is going to ask me. So we are going to get into all of that when we come back, right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hometown Take.
A look at the top local sports stories
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take here live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Hope your morning is going swell so far. Hope it's going swimmingly. All right. My guy Max Van Auken, big NBA dude, knows his stuff. He says he has a Atlanta Hawks question for me, and I am very intrigued by this question. So, Max, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. It's an honor. So here we go, Dylan. So I know you, I respect and very, I'm always anxious to see what you say about an NBA take that I may have or a theory that I have. So I'm like, okay, let me run this past Dylan. So the NBA has released the odds for the 2024 MVP award. And so you have Jokic as the favorite, plus right. 375.
Okay.
Then you got Luka at 500, Giannis at 550, Embiid at 850, and Tatum at plus 900. And so I just gave you five guys. And most recently, Trae Young was in a podcast with Draymond Green, and he said, you know what, Luka and I are pretty like very similar.
Yeah.
Why, if the Hawks don't make another move, and as time kind of winds down, it looks like they probably won't.
Right.
Why isn't he in the MVP convo? Because I feel like the stage is set for Trae Young under Coach Quinn Snyder. If he plays a little bit more off the ball, easier looks, he's obviously a gifted scorer. In my mind, Trae Young has a great opportunity to be an MVP, or at least in that discussion of those people. He's not even mentioned in that top five. Do you think Trae Young has a realistic shot or should at least be mentioned in the MVP combo?
He definitely has a realistic shot. He's not getting mentioned. Look, me personally, I believe he should be mentioned, but that's because, you know, we're close to it. We're in the city of Atlanta. But for these people, these you know, the national pundits who may not pay as close of attention to the Atlanta Hawks on a daily basis like we do, they're not going to have the same opinion because on the outside looking in, you know, if you're just looking from a, you know, 1,000-foot view or what have you, all you see is the Atlanta Hawks have been a play-in team two straight years, and the Atlanta Hawks have been a first-round exit with Trae Young past 2 years. And you added DeJounte Murray, you didn't really get that much better. You were a 500 team when you added another all-star to your backcourt. And then, obviously, Trae Young is now on his third head coach. We know the narrative of Trae Young being a coach killer is out there. So, to be quite honest with you, what has happened is – he hasn't completely lost his shine. He hasn't completely lost his sheen. And the way he plays his game and, you know, his personality and his swagger still keep Trae Young's a little bit, you know, certain players have, I don't know how to say this without it sounding, you know, what out of being a pause moment, so I don't take it that way. But, you know, certain players, just say it, certain players have, you know, the sex appeal. You get what I'm saying? Like, when you think about, you know, Steph Curry taking on, you know, the Boston Celtics. There's a sex appeal there, and that's a sexy matchup because it's Steph Curry versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and things like that. When you think about, you know, LeBron taking on the Nuggets. It's LeBron and AD versus Jamal Murray and the Joker. There's a sex appeal there because those players have, you know, they're at a certain status. Trae Young is still there. Like the Hawks still get national TV games because of Trae Young, right? But some of that has kind of withered off because of the step backward, and I don't want to call it regression, but the national media will look at it as regression. So they look at it as, well, the Hawks were a sexy team, and they kind of still are because Trae still has a little bit of swagger, and they're okay. Like, they'll be in the conversation when we talk about them going to the playoffs and whatnot. And they're a team, you know, you got to somewhat think about, but they're not Jamal Murray. They're not Jamal Murray and the Joker. They're not even Luka because of, you know, what Luka does by himself, which, again, I do think Luka and Trae are on the same wavelength. I mean, their careers have been very, very similar as far as what they've accomplished and what they've been able to do. So I agree. If Luka's in that conversation, Trae Young needs to be in that conversation as well. But I just think that's not there because of things that have transpired for Trae Young these past two seasons after making that Eastern Conference Finals run.
That makes a lot of sense. Because I was just about to say, Luka, not only do they have a lot of similarities, yeah, he's bigger, yeah, he's fundamentally sound because of the overseas basketball.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, yeah, they both have gone to a Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
And then when you think about it as well, they didn't even make the play-in tournament last year.
No.
Luka. Yeah. And so it's not even like he's having a ton of
team. And that's after they added Kyrie. They were in position to make the playoffs, then they added Kyrie, and then they fell all the way, not even out of the – play, they didn't even make the play in, like you said. So, yeah, that to me, that was just crazy. So,
yeah. So it's not like he has tons of team success. And it's right. Okay, I get it. He goes to the Western Conference Finals a lot. It's like, no, he didn't even make the playoffs last year. Didn't even make the play in. And I think, I just feel with Trae, he's led the league in assists before. Trae obviously can give you 30 any given night. So, if this Hawks team can make some noise, and if Coach Quinn Snyder can get these guys to make the most of what they have, I think he'll be right in there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. All it takes now for Trae to get back to that level he was on when the Hawks were making that Eastern Conference Finals run, they were the darlings in the NBA, and they got all the national TV games after that season. All they have to start doing is winning, because other than that, nothing has changed. Like, Trae Young still has swagger. Trae Young is still on commercials. You still see him everywhere. He's got his own podcast now. So, like, Trae Young still has all the makings to be a star and to be one of the faces of this league. The team just has to start winning. I mean, it's as simple as that. The team starts winning again, all of a sudden you're going to start to see Trae Young in even more commercials. You're going to start to see him in even more NBA promotional things when they're doing hype videos or promos or whatever. Like, when the winning starts happening again for the Atlanta Hawks, you'll get all that back. Then all of a sudden, say – to your point and to your scenario, the Hawks get off to a great start this year and they start winning and it's halfway through the season and they're a top three seed in the East. I guarantee you there will be new wads that come out and Trae Young's name will be in there. But they have to start winning. If they don't, then nothing's going to change. Because we now know just what he has done along, and his name is not enough anymore. Like, just his name is not going to put him in the MVP conversation. And his former and his previous body of work is not enough anymore to put his name in it. Now, Luka, I guess he still has the clout to get in that conversation. And, you know, with what the team has done, signing Kyrie to an extension and the player that Kyrie is, you know, I guess they think, you know, he can get back in that conversation. But Trae just has to start winning, and as simple as that. But if, like you said, with Quinn Snyder and DeJounte, they make that all work, and, you know, whether they make another move or not, if they start winning, then I think Trae Young can definitely and will be in that MVP conversation. Because, look, he has all the tools to do it. We've seen him, he's 2 years in a row, he's led the league in total assists. Not assists per game, but total assists, just the total number of assists. So he's got all the tools to do it. He's got all the skills to do it. He's got the swagger to do it. He's got the name to do it. Literally, he just has to win. That's all he has to do. The team has to win, and he's got to put wins behind everything now. So if the team can be successful, Trae Young will be in the MVP conversation. It is really, truly as simple as that. But that is a great question, though, because, again, it's like it goes back to the fact, and, you know, we're all tired of the Luka Trey thing because it's just not a thing anymore. But it is a fact of, like, well, if what has Luka done to be in it more than Trey Young has? Like, what has he done more to be in the MVP conversation already before the season is even started than Trey Young? Because their paths are literally even right now. Like, their career paths and what they've done and the accolades and everything they've been able to accomplish so far in their young careers, they're literally neck and neck with each other. They're literally tied, I would say. So that is a very good question.
You're a smart man. Smart man.
Hey, man.
Only on the hometown take.
That's right. That's right. That is a great question, though, because I see it the same way you do. They've done essentially the same thing. So if Luka's up there, Trae Young really should be up there. But, again, I think Luka's name carries a little bit more weight these days than Trae Young. But, again, if they start winning, that will change. So that's my 2, 3, 4, 5 cents on it, Max. You know. But
I appreciate it. You and I usually always see eye to eye, and I'm like, man, just saw these MVP odds. I'm like, I had to run it past you because it's just crazy. Like, I get it. Like, he hasn't gone to the Eastern Conference Finals again. Like, everything you just alluded to. But, again, not to just compare everything to Luka, but if you're going to put Luka in there, I'm like, I just don't understand what argument does he have over Trey.
Exactly.
Because the numbers are pretty similar. Like you said, the team success is very similar. So I was like, I just don't get why he's not even mentioned in the top five.
Right. And especially, like, even if you look at the what have you done for me lately, like, they made the Hawks at least made the playoffs last year. They got out of the play-in, won against the Miami Heat, got the 7th seed, and they took Boston to 6. Luka, when he added a all-world player in Kyrie, they got worse. The team got worse. Like, how does that happen? If Luka's supposed to be this MVP type of dude, how do you fall so far out of the playoffs that you don't even make the play-in? That's crazy. Were you in playoff position beforehand, before you got Kyrie? So, I don't know. Maybe they're taking that more as a shot at Kyrie and not Luka. I don't know. But, like, if you even look at the what have you done for me lately aspect, Luka hasn't done better than Trae Young has lately. So it is very confusing to me. So it is a very, very good point you bring up. And I appreciate you bringing that question up. So there's that. And when we get back, we got to talk to the Morning Shift. The Morning Shift, though, is full of MVP candidates and true MVPs. Bo Morgan, Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got on tap for the show next. And we'll wrap things up right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.